If you get your Bibles out, 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we'll be today, and we'll be reading all 17 verses. If you'll stand to your feet out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 17, and as our custom has kind of become here, because I am very odd, I get to read the odd verses, and since you are all wonderful and even and perfectly balanced, you get to read the even verses, okay? And beginning in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. More of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Well, here we are in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And earlier this year, I preached a message beginning and talking about verse 12, about living godly in this world today. And that's a very important thing that we should know and do in our lives. But can I tell you something? That back in verse 1, this statement is something that's probably been on all of your minds, especially over the summertime and perhaps over the span of this last year and a half or 2 years or so. Paul says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And can I just tell you, like I said in the prayer, I believe we're already here, folks. These are the last days. These are these perilous times that Paul spoke of to his son in the faith, Timothy. Did you notice the description of the last days? Did you notice the description of the peril that should come in the last days? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Check. Come on. Covetous. Check. Boasters. Check. Proud. Check. Blasphemers. Check. Disobedient to parents. Check, check, check. Unthankful. Okay, I don't have enough check marks for that one. Unholy. Oh, my soul. Without natural affection. Let me just make one small statement. LGBTQ. Enough said. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Hey, has the opposition
gotten pretty bold in their speakings? Oh, absolutely. That's fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Oh, those evangelical Christians. They're haters. Yeah. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Indeed. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Hey, is there in anybody's mind, even a single sliver of doubt that we are in the last days? Okay? I'm sorry, not to me. We are here. These days are here. So you say, what do we do? Oh, no. Ah! No. No, we don't have to do that. Why? Because we have God. We have the Word of God. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding. We have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, those of us that are believers. We have Jesus Christ. You understand that the word peril means exposure to the risk of being injured or destroyed. Are we not exposed to that today? Is that not right here, right now, in our faces? Yes, it is. But it is not a point to just freak out and to just wig out and to just bug out. Okay? It's not for that. We should be encouraged. We should be encouraged. We should rejoice because perhaps the day of the Lord is coming soon. Are you looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ? We ought to be looking for His coming. We ought to be saying, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We ought to want Him to come. We ought to be desiring and loving His appearing as the Bible teaches us. So how is it that we are able to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? How is it that we're able to get through and make it through these perilous times? Can I tell you something? They are here and you can and should make it through. How do we do that? Well, let's look to the scriptures and find the answers. Here we are in chapter 3 and look at verse 10. The first way that we can help make it through these perilous times, it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. If you're going to make it through perilous times, you must be settled in the area of doctrine. Bible doctrine is an area that we must be settled in if we're going to make it through perilous times. Paul said, these perilous times shall come. He said that these characteristics are going to be in our world today. And he said, if we're going to make it through, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. There was no question to what Paul believed and why he believed what he believed. Do you know? Are you settled in why you believe what you believe? Are you settled in what you believe? I decided to bring today some doctrine. This is from our church constitution. This is what we believe as a local, independent, fundamental Baptist church. What do we believe? We believe the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the verbally inspired Word of God. The Scriptures, inerrant, infallible, God-breathed, are therefore the final authority for faith and life.
The 66 books of the Old and New Testament are complete. And the final revelation of God to man. The scriptures shall be interpreted according to their normal grammatical historical meaning. The King James Version shall be the official translation of the church and will be the only translation used in preaching, teaching, or in any other capacity in the church. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. That's what we believe about the Word of God. Do you know why you believe that? Or just because the preacher said? Huh? We need to be settled in our doctrine. How about this? What we believe about God, the triune God, the one triune God existing eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each co-eternal in being, co-identical in nature, co-equal in power and glory, and having the same attributes and perfections. Deuteronomy 6:4, Matthew 28:18-20, 2 Corinthians 13:14, John 14:10-26. Do you know what you believe about God? Are you settled in who God is and what God is? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? How about the work in person of the Lord Jesus Christ? That He's the eternal Son of God, became man without ceasing to be God, having been conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, in order that He might reveal God and redeem sinful men. Isaiah 7, Luke 1, John 1, Philippians 2. Do you believe that Jesus accomplished His work in our redemption through His death on the cross as a representative, vicarious, substitutionary sacrifice? That our justification is made sure by His literal, physical resurrection from the dead. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, is now exalted at the right hand of God, whereas our high priest, He fulfills the ministry of representative, intercessor, and advocate. The person and work of the Holy Spirit of God that indwells the believers, convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And He is the supernatural agent in regeneration, indwelling and sealing unto the day of redemption. We believe that He's the divine teacher who assists believers to understand, appropriate the scriptures. And it is the privilege and duty of all believers to be filled with the Spirit of God. Do you know what you believe about the depravity of man? Do you know what our world says today? That internally, inherently, man is good. That's all I have to say about that. No! No, he's not. He is sinful. For by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore, death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all condemned already because of sin. We believe that man was created in the image and likeness of God. But because of Adam's sin, the human race fell, inherited a sinful nature, became alienated from God, and that man is totally depraved and of himself utterly unable to remedy his lost condition. Genesis 1, Romans 3, Romans 5, Romans 6, Ephesians 2, Ephesians 4. Do you know what you believe about salvation? There's only one way to heaven, folks. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We understand salvation, the doctrine of salvation, that it is through the precious blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know what you believe about eternal security? You know what us Baptists take a bad rap on? Once saved, always saved. But it's true. Do you believe it? Do you know why you believe it? We believe that the redeemed, once saved, are kept by God's power and are thus secure in Christ forever. John 6, John 10, Romans 8, and 1 Peter chapter 1. We believe that it is the privilege of believers to rejoice in the assurance of their salvation through the testimony of God's word. Let me just say to you, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We ought to rejoice. We ought to speak out. Do you know what you believe about the local church? You know there's a reason why we do what we do here? There's a reason why these things are organized the way they're organized? Because the Bible says so. Because we're settled in who we are and what we are and why we are. We believe that the local church, which is the body of Christ, is solely made up of born-again persons. We believe that the establishment and continuance of the local churches is clearly taught and defined in the New Testament. We believe in the autonomy of the local church, free from any external authority or control. We will not join or become part of any convention. Acts 13, Acts 15, Acts 20, Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 5, 1 Peter 5. We believe that the officers of ordination are pastors and deacons, and the scriptural ordinances are water baptism and the Lord's Supper. 1 Timothy 3, Romans 6, 1 Corinthians 11. We believe that the sole mission of the church is to win the lost, baptize them, and to teach them, instruct them in the Word of God so that they too will win the lost to Christ. Matthew 28, Mark 16. You know why you believe what you believe about separation? Being separate from the world? We believe that all the saved should live in such a manner as not to bring reproach upon their Savior. And every child of God should carefully guard their testimony and refrain from all worldly and sinful pleasures. 2 Corinthians 6 and Romans 12. I'm going to, for sake of time, we have this published, you can read it. The second advent of Christ. Jesus is coming again. Coming soon. Aren't you looking for that day? Heaven and hell. There is a heaven. There is a hell. They are both literal. They are both real. Satan. Do you know why you believe what you believe about the devil? You say, why do I need to know that? Oh, folks, we need to know our enemy. We need to know his devices. We need to know who and what he is and how he behaves in this world. Creation, civil government, abortion, human sexuality, missions, lawsuits between believers, giving. These are all things that we need to know why we believe what we believe. How in the world do you plan to make it through perilous times if you don't even know why you believe what you believe? We've got to be settled in what we believe and why we believe it if we're going to make it through perilous times. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. You understand that there's going to be those that creep into churches and they're going to lead away people from the cause of Christ with other doctrines. And you need to know what they are. And you need to be ready for them. And you need to know that, hey, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't seem right. That's not the right thing. That's not what God's word says. But how are you going to know if you don't know what God's word says? If all you can say is, well, the preacher said, well, may I say to you, big whoop-de-ding what the preacher said. Why do you believe what you believe? Hey, look, I don't think there's any question today that I know why I believe what I believe. How about you? Are you settled in your doctrine? In John chapter 7, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what that is? That's a church that's settled in their doctrine. Why they believe what they believe. Hey, listen, not just because I said it, but because the Word of God says it. Why do you think I read all these verses to you? Why do you think I show you these things from the Word of God? Because it's not my words, it's His Word. I don't want you to believe me, I want you to believe God. I don't want you to follow me, I want you to follow Christ. You see, that's the thing. We need to know, we don't need these polyparrot church members. We need to know why we believe what we believe, and that's what God's Word says, because God is true and every man a liar. Why were the Bereans more noble than those in Thessalonica? Because they searched the Scriptures whether those things were so. Not because they believed what Paul preached. Not because they believed what he said. Not because he was a convincing speaker or an eloquent man or just, man, he just looks good. I'm going to trust him. What? No. No. It's because the Word of God says so. You understand that we have salvation because the Word of God says so. You understand we have the knowledge of God because the Word of God says so. We need to know why we believe what we believe. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. That's one of my favorite verses. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You understand, folks, that this thing of doctrine and knowing why you believe what you believe is so imperative if we're going to make it through these perilous times. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Then he says, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. I lumped all these together because it's summed up by one statement. Being settled in living the Christian life. Being settled in living the Christian life. In Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26, it says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And of some of them men were of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all with that purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. First. Why were they called Christians?
Why were they called little Christs? Because they lived it, they talked it, they breathed it, they acted it. It was who they were. You know what? We come to church, we get our Bibles, we get our nice clothes on, and yeah, we're all Christians here. But what about out there? What about at home? What about at work? What about in your car? What about in your front yard? What about in your backyard? Everywhere. Are you a Christian? Are you settled in living the Christian life? Or are you having a double life? Where sometimes you're a Christian and sometimes you're not. Or maybe you're one of those secret agents. Undercover. So nobody knows that you're a Christian. And when they least expect it, you're going to sneak up on them and win them to the Lord. I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. You know what? We need to live a Christian life no matter where we are. Because it's who we are. If you're going to make it through these perilous times, you just got to be a Christian. You need to know why you are that way and how to live that way and why you live that way, because it's just who you are. Can I tell you something? I'm just odd because that's who I am, and I'm not going to change for you. And that's okay, because the Bible tells me I'm supposed to be peculiar. So I'm just living the part, living the dream. You know what? We just need to live as Christians. There ought to be no question who you are. And if you're going to make it through perilous times, you just need to be a Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Hey, Paul was Paul. He wasn't different when he went here or there or any other where. He was who he was. Did he suffer peril? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, much. Look back in our text. He says here in verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. If you go over to Corinthians, you can read the long list of all the things that he suffered. He's beaten with rods and imprisoned and beaten with stripes above measure and persecutions. And he said, in deaths oft, a night and a day in the deep. I mean, this man went through all kinds of things. But yet he was a Christian through and through. He knew who he was, and he lived the life. You know, he said he was zealous when he went out to trap the Christians. He said, but I took that zealousness right into Christianity when the Lord saved me. When I was knocked off my beast of burden on that Damascus road, and I looked up and I said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He said, I took that same zealousness and I took it into the new life in Christ. That's what we ought to do, folks. Just live it out. If you're going to make it through perilous times, take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2, just a few pages over. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify him unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Is that you? Is that you? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you live it day by day? hour by hour, minute by minute. See, Brother Combs, I can't possibly be a Christian all the time. Why not? I'm Eric Combs all the time. You're whoever you are all the time. We can't be a Christian all the time. Well, but I can't be a Christian here. Well, then don't go there. Or just go there and be a Christian there no matter what. But it might cost me my life. So? Pastor Combs, you can't say that. You want me to die? Not necessarily. But if it's the Lord's will, so be it. Hey, listen. Paul went. He was stoned to death at Lystra. You understand that. And I believe that, literally. He was stoned to death. And God said, nope, not time yet. Get up, go back into the city. Ha ha, that's cool. Yeah. Because remember what he said in Corinthians, in deaths oft. He died more than once in his life. See, how is that possible? With God, all things are possible. God wasn't done with him yet. And wouldn't that have been an amazing sight to see the man you just stoned to death come walking back into town? Whoa. Didn't we just smash your skull with a rock? Yes, we did. Why are you still here? Because God said so. By the way, do you know if you die today, would you for sure you go to heaven? What a wonderful testimony. Hey, listen. It's okay to live as a Christian, even if you're persecuted. In 3 John it says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou hast doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a goodly sort, thou shalt do well. In Deuteronomy, Moses told the people, ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth. That command and that encouragement continues in 1 Peter. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? Why should we live life as a Christian? Why in these perilous times will that help make us get through? Because we've been called. It says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You understand that if we're going to make it through perilous times, we've got to be settled in our doctrine. Why we believe what we believe. And we must be settled in living the Christian life. Why we live how we live. Why we are the way we are. Why we do what we do. And then thirdly, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We need to be settled in the fact that we may suffer persecution. You know what? It's not so bad if you know something is coming. You understand? Being surprised is a bad thing most of the time, right? But if you know something is coming, you can at least prepare for it, right?
So listen to this. In the last days, perilous times shall come. We're given a description of the last days and the perilous times that shall come. Does anybody want to argue with me that we're already here? Okay? We are here, aren't we? Okay? We know it's going to come. We've been forewarned of it. And it says in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So you know what? Just resolve that you may suffer persecution. And it's okay. It's okay. When you go out and knock on a door, try to win somebody to Christ, and they cuss you out, they slam the door in your face, they threaten you, they call the police, they do all these things. Just, it's okay. It's okay, because in perilous times, these things shall come. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but I'm going to glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Don't you understand that these things are going to happen? And it is okay. Matter of fact, we're supposed to rejoice and be exceeding glad if these things happen to us. We can rejoice in the glory that God will receive from our life if we suffer for him. In Acts chapter 5, verses 38 through 42, it says, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Now this is coming from the mouth of one of the Pharisees. What wisdom! But listen. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Okay? So I'm going out soul winning. I'm knocking on doors. And someone decides that they don't like what I'm doing. And they grab hold of me. And they beat me. And they let me go. So I'm supposed to get mad. Right? I'm supposed to come back and burn their house down. Right? I'm supposed to get them back for what they did to me. Right? That's what the apostles should have done. Were they unfairly treated? Were they persecuted? Were they maligned? Yes, yes, and yes. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Amazing. Amazing. How'd they make it through? They were settled in the fact that they may be persecuted. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amazing. Remember Saul of Tarsus and Stephen? As he held the coats, consenting to the death of Stephen? And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison, Therefore, they that were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, and came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and them that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Can I tell you, if we're going to make it through perilous times, we need to be settled in our doctrine. We need to be settled in living the Christian life. And we need to be settled in the fact that we may suffer persecution because of the cause of Christ. Are you there in Romans chapter 8? Look at verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. Folks, it's okay. Let me encourage you. There's a book out there. It's not for the faint of stomach or the faint of heart. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Get you a hold of that copy, and if you can stand it, begin to read what happened to those that carried the faith from generation to generation. Horrible things. Horrible things. Can I just say something? We got it easy. We've got it easy. Oh, boo-hoo, somebody yelled at me for giving a gospel tract out in Walmart parking lot. They threatened to call the police. Yeah? How about staying there, watching your husband or your wife being flayed to death? Or the old preacher, Polycarp, as he was put to the stake and burnt at the stake, singing and preaching till his head exploded. Your brother Combs, that's kind of graphic. I know. I know. But it's real. The last days, perilous times shall come. We're not ignorant, folks, of these things. We've been told they're going to happen. Can I say they're here? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, wherefore, when can we no longer forbear? We thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Hey, listen. I don't mean to be a downer today. Okay? I meant to encourage you and to help you make it through perilous times. If you'll just be settled in your doctrine, know why you believe what you believe. If you'll be settled in living the Christian life every minute of every day, and if you'll be settled in the fact that persecution will come, you can make it through perilous times.